used to wake up playing GameCube. Whatever game we playing, man, I can't lose. Can't choose what game system to use. Like saying who better, Ken or Ryu. You love BGs, oh yeah, girl, me too. We can watch anime all day and skip school. Young legend, rap take it to a new level. New medals for young kings who don't settle. In the crib with my big bro playing Nintendo. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Got every single color joystick for the 6-4. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Mega Man, Street Fighter, Donkey Kong, yeah, that's all I know. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Keep it retro, keep it retro. Never let go, keep it retro. I'm the otaku king of hip hop. Y'all couldn't pull up on me at a pit stop. Got the sonic ring, middle with my wristwatch. Here, make the ring noise every time it tick tock. It's Young Bae, not Jenny from the block. Gotta tell me when to start, I don't know when to stop. Pull up to the scene, like my name RoboCop. Legendary Baker Styles teeth, it's a bop. PS1, yeah, bought it for the fun, yeah. 6-4, yeah, you don't even know that. Game Boy SP on the flow, yeah. Room full of anime scrolls, won't mow, yeah. If she not an otaku, we cannot vibe. We so retro, we play the Wii outside. I cannot hear ya, that's a far cry. BG anime retro life. In the crib with my big bro playing Nintendo. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Got every single color joystick for the 6-4. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Mega Man, Street Fighter, Donkey Kong, yeah, that's all I know. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Keep it retro, keep it retro. Never let go, keep it retro. In the crib with my big bro playing Nintendo. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Got every single color joystick for the 6-4. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Mega Man, Street Fighter, Donkey Kong, yeah, that's all I know. I will never let go, gotta keep it retro. Keep it retro, keep it retro. Never let go, keep it retro.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Urs Mac, the mad scientist, on this Thursday morning. You know, shout out to Detroit Blue in her absence, but we're going to get right into it because, you know, we're going to close out the week. Yesterday, we had a little bit of technical difficulties here. I don't know what was going on with the system or whatever the case may be. So we didn't air yesterday's show. Because of that reason, but we are here today. We are here today to take it back in the time, you know, back in the 80s, you know what I'm saying? You know, most of us grew up in the 80s, you know, most of my listeners, and then some of my newer listeners that, you know, were born in the 90s and the 2000s. We're going to introduce you to some classic cartoons, man. Some cartoons that, you know, just, it's timeless. Cartoons that make us just want to, you know what? Dang, I wish I had a DVD set of this. Dang, I wish I could get a season of this or that or whatever the case might be. But hey, check it out. Check it out. You can always find some of these cartoons. You can find some of these on Amazon Prime. No doubt about it. So it's okay. It's okay. But we're going to do that last. We're going to save that for last because yesterday was the last night of the Wednesday Night Wars. Now, the Wednesday Night Wars is something that the wrestlers, professional wrestlers, did not come up with. It's something that us, the fan base, came up with. And a lot of people may think AEW won the Wednesday Night Wars because NXT is no longer on Wednesday nights after this week. Next week, it will be on Tuesday nights. Now, the question is, did NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver? Delivered. Did it upend AEW? Did it outperform AEW as far as the ratings are concerned? My guess is, yes. My guess is, yes, it did. Now, historically speaking, now, when the Wednesday Night War started, you know, anytime NXT won the Wednesday Night Wars is when they had like a special pay-per-view style title and card. Like they had Halloween Havoc, they had Great American Bash, they had an NXT takeover on a Wednesday night. But see, this is WrestleMania week here, right? This is WrestleMania week. where you know you have to deliver. You got to go out with a bang. And that's what happened with NXT. NXT is not going away, people. It's just moving to Tuesdays. But I will say it did deliver. I sat and watched NXT TakeOver Night 1, and I had my favorite match. And as always with NXT TakeOver, there is not a bad match on the card at all. Never. It goes from good to superb. There's never a bad match in NXT TakeOver. Triple H does a phenomenal job. Shawn Michaels does a phenomenal job with this young talent. All day, all day. Now, one thing that I heard that Big E said, he was being interviewed on Busted Open a couple of days ago, him and Trish Stratus. And Big E says, you know, you can have all the talent in the world, wrestling talent in the world, but when you come to the main roster and you don't have like the charisma and, you know, the mic work or whatever the case may be, you're going to be in trouble. You might be in some stuff. And I know a lot of people's like, man, why this wrestler don't get a push? Why this wrestler don't get a push? This person was excellent in NXT. Why they're not getting a push? What's going on? Maybe sometimes in the main roster, things are a little bit different because they focus more on your persona, your charisma, what you got going on, and that gives you the push. Maybe that's why Cesaro didn't get the push like he needed to get. When he was with the bar, he had more of a personality. That's why I'm a strong advocate for performers not to have scripts written for them to read in front of the crowd or to remember and recite to the crowd, because in a way it's not them. That's not something they will say. That's not something their character will say. Now, granted, not all wrestlers are good on the mic. Let's be real. You know, Bret the Hitman Hart wasn't the best on the mic, but his charisma and for how he came out in the ring with the leather jacket and his wrestling skills or whatever the case may be, he made it entertaining. Like, he was just this widespread phenomenon. He made it work. He knew. He made it work. He even acknowledged, he said, look, I'm not the best on the mic. I said what I need to say at the time, but I'm gonna let the charisma speak for itself. I'm gonna let my entrances speak for itself. I'm gonna let my wrestling skills speak for itself. That's what it was. If Stone Cold Steve Austin stayed the ringmaster, there would be no Stone Cold Steve Austin, period. It took that promo, that John 3:16 promo, and explained that Austin 3:16 means I'm going to whoop your ass. See, that was it. That was it. That was lightning in the bottle. Austin knew that, and he kept going with that. And then, of course, with Bret Hart, the whole thing with the blood over his face, that was it. Everybody loves Steve Austin because he never gave up. So maybe that's the reason why some of these professional wrestlers, you know, are not getting the push they deserve. But that's why I love AEW so much, because you know what your character is going to say. There's no script writing for you. You cut the promo the way you want to cut it. Just do it within a certain parameter. That's why I like, because Jon Moxley actually said that's one of his frustrations. He was like, it was stuff that was written for him. He's like, this is nothing I would say. I wouldn't say that stuff. And that would frustrate him. But see, with AEW, he's like, he's in his wheelhouse. He can say and do whatever he wants. He can let the creativity flow. And it's up to the fans whether they're going to like it or don't like it. So that's the thing. But yeah, we're going to jump into NXT Stand and Deliver Night 1. Because I watched that over AEW. I watched that last night because Stand and Deliver did exactly that. I have to go back to AEW and catch. Now, I did catch the promo Chris Jericho cut for the Inner Circle. A phenomenal promo by Chris Jericho, as we know. Chris Jericho is a genius. He's a veteran in this game. He's supposed to be on the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestlers. I would definitely give him that. But Night 1 NXT take over Stand and Deliver Night 1. Now, it did have a pre-show. Now, with the pre-show, there's no avoiding the high expectations that come with any card given with NXT TakeOver, Brandon. but any fan of professional wrestling would have difficult time stating that the first night of NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver on Wednesday was anything but incredible. Alter Beast says, I watched it, but I'm so far behind NXT, I didn't know what was going on. Walter versus Ciampa was strange. But that's okay, though. We're gonna get to it. The first one was the pre-show match between Zoe Stark and Toni Storm. Now, Stark continued to impress, as she has in a series of matches with top stars, hitting some nice early moves, including a good-looking springboard missile dropkick. Storm took over the match after a strong start, the end result being Zoe Stark defeats Toni Storm. The finish was clunky, whatever, but the match was good in itself. Zoe Stark defeated Toni Storm via pinfall. Now, the main card starts off with someone that I consider myself a fan of because I've seen him in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Kushida goes up against Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne considers himself the greatest technical wrestler to date. The greatest technical wrestler to date. Kushida takes him up on that challenge. So, in this exchange, they go blow for blow, move for move, submission to submission, and finally, Pete Dunne gets that dub via pinfall. Honestly, this was a high level of a wrestling match. Kushida got hit with a kick to the head and a bitter end that ends the match. But I will say Pete Dunne is continuing to prove himself. Pete Dunne has always been a phenomenal talent. You've seen him go up against Finn Balor for the NXT Championship. Listen, there's nothing bad I can say about Kushida or Pete Dunne. Period. They do what they need to do in that ring, and it was a great opening match. I give that match, an A. I give it an A all day long. All day long. All day long. Now, the next match kind of pissed me off a little bit. I'm not even going to lie. Not because of the match itself or the result. Because my guy didn't win. My guy didn't win. It was the Gauntlet Eliminator match for the North American Championship opportunity against Johnny Gargano. Tonight is Leon Ruff versus Isaiah Swerve Scott versus Bronson Reed versus Cameron Grimes versus Destin Lumis versus LA Knight. And LA Knight is, Eli Drake. You know him from NWA Power. He is on NXT. LA Knight pinned Destin Lumis. And shortly after that, LA Knight got put out and he got put to sleep by Destin Lumis. Like, Destin Lumis is great. He resonates with the fans. He got charisma. He got in-ring skills. Put him against Johnny Gargano, man. Just let it happen. Let it happen. But the result is Bronson Reed won the Gauntlet match. Now, this man can move as a big man. This man can really, really move. Very, very good talent. It's going to be a very good match between him and Johnny Gargano. I just didn't want him to win. I wanted Destin Lumis to win. Actually, Destin Lumis was my pick. And yeah, that was the end of that. The next matchup was, to me, the best match on the card. This match was great, awesome, phenomenal. This is a grade A match. Was Walter versus Tommaso Ciampa for the UK NXT Championship. I'm gonna just tell you, man, this match was phenomenal. This was a typical big man versus a smaller guy type of vibe. But, man, this thing was brutal. This thing was physical. Without even the bleeding, it was like stiff moves. And Walter could take it. Walter has held that NXT UK Championship for 2 years and some change. Undefeated. 2 years and some change. I was looking. Now, my pick was Walter to win that. Even though Tommaso Ciampa is my guy. He is my guy. But Master 3278 says, still say that they should have been trying to sign my boy before he's too old. The ending was strange to me. Ciampa kicked out way worse beatings and took a clean 1-2-3 for a suplex throw. Yeah, I get your B-seats with that. I mean, One of the signature moves that Walter has is that chop. The chop is that thing. Now, you know, they told a story in the ring where he Tommaso Ciampa neutralized one of his arms, like one of his hands, because that was neutralizing one of those chops, right? You saw when Tommaso dodged the chop, and with, you know, Walter's hand, he broke the desk. Like, he broke it. Like, he just, this wood splitting. So, yeah, he hit the move. He hit the power bomb. He kicked out. Great. But now, after that, he's worn down, and he hit that signature chop. Then he tossed him, and that was the end of the match. Yeah, honestly and truly, the ending was that, to that was a little off-putting, but I do understand why it ended that way. You know, Tommaso didn't have nothing left in him. I mean, but I love Tommaso Ciampa, man. That dude is just great. That dude is just great, man. I mean, there's nothing bad I can say about Tommaso Ciampa. Especially his matches with Johnny Gargano, man. Those were some straight up unadulterated classics. And man, now Master 3278 said it still should try to sign my boy before he's too old. Which one's your boy? Who's your boy? BC says they both look gassed. Man, listen, the high spot to me was the constant clotheslines that Tommaso Ciampa was throwing. Like, I'm like, dude, you are not winded. That was some serious cardio. He was like back and forth, rope, 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 clothesline, 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 clothesline. This man is not tired. He had to be winded. I think they called it themselves. Right. I think they called it themselves. Man, that match right there honestly was the match on the card for me. I mean, but I love anything Tommaso Ciampa does in the ring. That's just first and foremost. I really do give that. So honestly, if by CBS standards, it says this is the early leader for match of the week. Even with as many great matches as NXT and WWE have on the tap, Walter and Tommaso Ciampa is on call to be the match of the week. That's crazy, right? Crazy, crazy, crazy. The next matchup was a tag team championship for the vacant titles between MSK, Grizzled Young Veterans, and Legado del Fantasma. Man, this was a turmoil type of match, man. You got a triple threat. You got, you know, some high flyers in. You got some mat specialists. You got some hardcore tag team guys up in that mix. A great, great match. Again, like I said, NXT does not disappoint when it comes to matches. I'm telling you, they don't mess around. They put the right people against each other, and that's just how it goes. And this match was awesome. Just straight up awesome. And I have nothing but good things to say. Like, you know, things broke down with Grizzly Young Vets versus MXK, with Lee hitting a double cutter and then a twisting blockbuster, while Carter had Gilson lifted up to score the win and take home the titles. There's a lot of high spots here. BC says, I love good tag team wrestling. NXT and AEW are both killing it. No doubt. I love tag team wrestling. Tag team wrestling in the main roster, Vince McMahon eyes, they don't get it just due. I feel like they don't get it just due. I mean, you have the Usos, you have the New Day, you had the Bar. It's like, you, whenever WrestleMania comes around, you throw in a fatal four-way or a triple threat tag team match. It's never like a one-on-one tag team match. Like, can we have at least, like Bully Ray actually said it. He said, can we have at least one good tag team match on WrestleMania card? Can we have at least one, please? It's like you kind of throw things by the wayside when it comes to tag teams. And he's not really, you know, it's no secret Vince is not very big on that. You got to make it big. You got to make it your own. So, I mean, I feel BC's on what he's saying. Like, I really do love tag team wrestling. I mean, we grew up on seeing tag teams. I mean, like, legitimate tag teams. Like, legitimate ones. Not put together ones. Like, legitimate. Like, they got, like, actual tag team names. Not just not just, you know, Earth Smacking BCs. Nah, you have names like Demolition, Legion of Doom, the Heart Foundation. You know, you know, the Usos, the New Day, the Bar, the Bushwhackers, the Mounties. I mean, the list goes on. The list goes on for tag teams. The list goes on. Now, the main event is the Women's Championship match between Io Shirai and Raquel Gonzalez. Listen, I was looking for Io to retain, you know, but listen, this was a great way to end the show. Great way to end the show. Io Shirai was taking a beating. She took the one-handed powerbomb outside. She got clotheslined out of shoes. Then she got the one-handed powerbomb again. And I'm looking for Io to kick out, and she didn't. Raquel is the new NXT Women's Champion. Where do you go from here? What's next for Raquel? I mean, how long is she going to hold the NXT Women's title? Who's going to beat her? Will it be Dakota Kai? Will it be like some type of rift between the two? Because let's be real here. You know, the NXT Women's Championship is the top tier title here in NXT as far as singles women. Like, would Dakota want that shot? We'll see, though. We'll see, man. There's a lot on this roster, man, because anytime that you think that NXT is going to take a dip because some wrestler may go to the main roster, it never disappoints because you got these new guys that's coming in. It's like a machine. It's like a conveyor belt full of just talent. And I can't really express the appreciation I have for NXT. I can't. I really can't express it that. And AEW is just the same because you already know I'm an AEW guy. I love AEW. I love what they do with the product. I love the atmosphere of AEW. The positivity that AEW has. You know, people have fun in the locker room. People, you know, they go over to each other's matches. They critique each other. It's great. It's a positive, non-toxic atmosphere that AEW has. And I love every bit of it. But this was NXT's night. I'm going to give it to NXT. This is NXT's night. And I will give overall NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver night one an A. Night two is tonight, y'all. Night two is tonight. If you don't have Peacock, yes, I know. Peacock, man. It's on Peacock. I just say it like that. I say it's on Peacock. Now, night one is USA and Peacock. Night one was yesterday. I think night two is not on USA. It's on Peacock only, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. But we will see. We will see. But, okay, it is cheaper on the WWE Network to be on Peacock. Yes. It did take away some certain things from the WWE library. I get it. But I'm going to be honest. Some of the stuff that they took off, I don't even watch anyway. Not because I'm offended, because I'm not. Because I know wrestling is wrestling. But I just... I wasn't really looking at that. I was looking at WCW Saturday Night. That was my joints. I was looking at those. I was looking at Nitro. I was looking at old Nitro shows and stuff like that. So I was good. I was straight. I was looking at Untold. But Peacock, it takes some getting used to, man. I think honestly and truly, I'm gonna watch as much content as I can, and I will probably delete it and get it whenever there is a show that I need on WWE Network that I want to watch. I'm not going to continuously have it. I'll say it like that. I'm not going to continuously have it. I'm not going to spend $4.99 or $5.99, whatever the case may be, every month, and I'm not going to watch it every month. Nah. Ain't going to do it. Yeah, so BC says, I ordered Stupid Peacock, but I cancel it on Monday. Because you know, on Broken Stickle Sessions, his Steve Austin special guest is Chris Jericho. It is Chris Jericho. BC says going to do a live reaction to TakeOver Night 2. Wild Gaming on Twitch tonight. Yo, awesome. Awesome. That's what's up. That's what's up. Check out BC's. Put your Twitch channel in the chat, people. Put it in there. Now, today, you know, it is time. It is time. We're going to talk about the 10 best cartoons of the 80s, according to theretronetwork.com. Man, listen. We're going to take you back. We're going to take you back. Man, it's going to be some good stuff, y'all. Some good stuff. Man. So, according to theretronetwork.com, the cartoons were inescapable in the 1980s. Saturday mornings, weekday afternoons, and even on cable TV, colorful animated characters were everywhere we looked. These are all facts. While the majority were shoddy productions conceived as part of a carefully constructed marketing plan to sell toys, a few managed to rise above and deliver lasting entertainment with a few life lessons along the way. These are degrees of being the best. So let's flip on YouTube and break it down by a few categories as we look back at the 10 best cartoons of the 80s, man. We're going to jump right into it, man. Well, listen. For best band, Jim and the Holograms. Let's go going back to the 70s with Josie and the Pussycats, or even further down the rabbit hole to animated 60s oddity, The Impossibles. It seemed like cartoon characters were always starting rock bands. It seemed that way. It felt that way, right, Geek Corner? It felt that way. The trend continued in the 80s, and while novelty rodents Alvin and the Chipmunks had a resurgence, their claim to fame was cover tunes. That's why, if for outrageous character design alone, I have to nominate Jim and the Holograms as the best cartoon band of the 80s. This thing lasted over 3 seasons. Jim and the Holograms and their rivals, the Misfits, and eventually the Stingers, were responsible for over 150 original pop songs that appeared on the show. Not only that, but each one had its own music video. None may have been quite as memorable as the original theme song, You Can Take Season 2's Gym Girls and Stuff and Stuff It, because let's be real about it. The first one was cool. But they were all competent songs with great vocal performances, prolific, stylish, and truly outrageous. Jerrica and the Girls were the band to beat. The best band is Jim and the Holograms. I'm inclined to agree. You got 150 original pop songs. Original pop songs. Moving on. The best gimmick goes to Inspector Gadget. If a character wanted to stand out in the cartoon landscape of the 80s, they had to have a unique trait that made them memorable. And when you talk about gimmicks, Inspector Gadget was king. Never mind that kids didn't know voice actor Don Adams from his run as Maxwell Smart on the 60s TV series, or the 60s TV series Get Smart. Though I personally watched reruns on Nick at Night. Y'all remember Nick at Night, y'all? After like maybe what, 9 o'clock, you watch those classic black and white cartoons. Whatever. That pop culture Easter egg paled in comparison to the fact that this was a cyborg detective with enough spy tech to make James Bond jealous. I used to have an Inspector Gadget toy. It was the one with the helicopter hat. That was my favorite one, the helicopter hat. And I was like, man, this is just awesome. So, according to RetroNetwork.com, I was so enamored with the Clueless Gumshoe that I got Inspector Gadget doll for Christmas when I was 3 years old, which featured his helicopter hat. That's the one. That is the one. Extending a mallet hand, extending legs, telescoping neck, which made Extender Mecha Neck from Masters of the Universe look like chumps. Even cooler to me, those was when Gadget's van would transform into a car and his niece penned his computer book. Add to all this an amazingly catchy theme song, and it's clearly to see why Gadget's Bag of Tricks rose above the rest in the crowded TV marketplace. Shout out to Inspector Gadget, man, because I used to have that. Now, here's another one. Best TV show to cartoon. Alf, the animated series. I have said on this show I had a Al stuffed animal. I had it for decades. And I lost it. Al was just butt naked, man. I mean, he had a yellow shirt. Somehow or another, he lost the shirt. So he just was running around butt naked, just, you know, just ass out, man. Just had a naked Al. But when a live action show got popular enough, it often transited to the world of animation. The Brady Bunch, Dukes of Hazzard, and even Gilligan's Island got this treatment in the 70s with mismatched cutie punk Punky Brewster continuing the trend in the Reagan era. Wow, I love Glomer and his leprechaun magic. It was a huge departure from Punky's prime time antics that bordered on ridiculous. So what sitcom star made the transition more smoothly? None other than everyone's favorite cat munching alien, Alf. Alf cartoon added as a prequel to the sitcom that took place on Alf's home planet, Melmac. Here, wisecracking extraterrestrial was known as Gordon Shumay and had a whole cast of supporting characters that represented his society. It was a great way to expand the mythology that was only dropped sporadically to Willie and the rest of the Tanner family on a weekly basis. More importantly, the cartoon retained the same tone of humor that came to define Alf character, not dumbing it down for younger viewers. Eventually, the series morphed into Alf Tales, where Gordon was cast as storybook characters in fantasy adventures, which kind of missed the point, but it started off strong. He said, Mills 38 said, why you have Alf bucket naked? So, listen, I don't know what happened to the shirt. The shirt, look, I left the house, and I came back one day, and the shirt was gone. Maybe Al just wanted to be naked. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe he wanted to be bucket naked. You always knew Al had a mind of his own. You already knew that. Now, the best bears of the 80s goes to Gummy Bear. Like, according to Retro Network, among the brighter bear stars in animation are Yogi and Boo Boo, Winnie the Pooh, and for a few diehards out there, Kissy Fur. Do not remember that. Y'all, if y'all remember that in the Geek Corner, please let me know. Remind me. Sure, the greeting card mascots turned stuffed animal icons. The Care Bears inspired toys, movies, and nightshirts. But it always felt like their mission was murky. Make everybody feel good all the time, whether they like it or not. With your Care Bear stare, it feels like the citizens of Care-A-Lot were overstepping their bounds a little bit. Boundaries, people. Boundaries. Speaking of bounding, my vote for 8 best bears of the 80s goes to Disney Adventures of the Gummy Bears. Now, according to Retro Network, it's hard to express how big Gummy Bears were when they debuted in 1985, given that their popularity didn't sustain itself beyond a decade in which Grammy, Zoomy, Gruffy, Tummy, Cubby, and Sunny premiered. There was something special about the medieval fantasy setting and magical properties of gummy berry juice that gave our family of heroes the ability to bounce around like rubber balls in their battles with Ichthorn and his ogre horde. Gummy Bears are certainly a case of the theme song being more fondly remembered than the actual show, but perhaps with the series now being available to stream on Disney Plus, the residents of Gummy Glen will regain their former glory. Y'all gotta check out Gummy Bears, man. That was some good stuff. Maybe that's why I like Gummy Bears so much. The candies. Maybe that's why. And fruit snacks. Maybe that's why. Now, the best adventure series is, according to Retro Network, is the real Ghostbusters. Now, there's a reason why I call it the real Ghostbusters. So, according to Retro Network, whether it was Voltron, Thundercats, or Mask, the 80s had no shortage of animated violence on TV. While the battles of waves between G.I. Joe and Cobra may have concerned parents enough to require public service announcements to be tacked onto the end of each episode, the true fights were to be found on another series starring heroes who could each declare, "I ain't afraid of no ghosts." Of course, I'm talking about the real Ghostbusters. Though inspired by the 1984 film, the real Ghostbusters cartoon was in many ways a world unto itself. Ha! 3278 Max says, Gummy Bears, they courageous fighting here and there. What y'all know about that? Shout out to Maxwell 3278. He knows what we're talking about. You got to care about the Gummy Bears, man. All day. So with the real Ghostbusters, not only did the series change the likeness of Ray, Egon, Peter, and Winston, but during its 7-season run, the show introduced a whole host of new spooks and spirits beyond the film's rogues gallery of Gozer, Zool, Mr. Stay Puft, and Viggo the Carpathian. Though Slimer provided comic relief, the stories themselves were genuinely dark and frightening, with just enough wisecracking to keep it fun. As we look forward to the release of Ghostbusters Afterlife in 2021, fans should never feel upset about waiting all this time for a proper Ghostbusters 3, as we got 5 years of continuing adventures featuring our favorite paranormal exterminators in animation. I think Slimer ended up being the Ghostbusters in the series, because Slimer was kind of like their friend in a way. So there was the real Ghostbusters, and there were extreme Ghostbusters, and then there was Ghostbusters. Don't watch that crap. If it don't have the real Ghostbusters on there, don't watch it. Because you think you're going to be watching the Ghostbusters, and it's not it. It's not it. It's something called Ghostbusters cartoon. I don't know anybody that watches it. That's trash. But yeah, the real Ghostbusters and Extreme Ghostbusters is definitely worth the watch. Now, best forgotten series is Dino Saucers, according to Retro Network. By the late 1980s, television animation was an overcrowded space where many fun and inventive concepts fell through the cracks, especially after Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles became a giant green behemoth that left the competition shell-shocked in 1987. One of these casualties was Dino Saucers, and conceived and produced by Michael Uslan, who was instrumental in getting the 1989 Batman film into theaters. It was a classic tale of good versus evil with a prehistoric twist. The series, produced by DIC, told the tale of a group of Earthlings who was recruited to be secret scouts for an alien team of humanoid dinosaurs called Dino Saucers, led by the heroic Allo, who battled against the villainous Tyrannos, led by Genghis Rex. These warring dinosaurs had all the ability to dino-evolve or transform into full-size dinosaurs and access the pure strength of that form. The rings worn by the secret scouts giving them each enhanced abilities, as well as ranging from super speed to super strength. It was a fun idea with very distinct character designs, but only lasted for one season, which caused planned action figure line by Galoob to be canceled. Galoob, man. Y'all remember Galoob? That was a nice toy-making company, man. Awesome. Here's to what could have been. Master 3278 says, I said Tremor Z was the most forgotten. Or GoBots. Oh. Yes. I don't think I remember GoBots. Walter BC said, WCW Galoob figurines were awesome. Yes, it were. Best cartoon cat goes to Garfield. Looking for funny feline fun on YouTube in the 80s, kids had quite a few offerings to choose from, but I think most would agree that the alley cat battle for dominance in the animated sphere was always between Garfield and Heathcliff. BC says Heathcliff is the best cartoon cat. You a damn lie. In the mid-80s, these two rotund orange furballs both emerged from the comic strip Funny Pages to star in their own cartoons, and interestingly enough, both shared the runtime with another team of animal characters created for their shows. Garfield had barnyard backups from U.S. Acres, which starred the likes of Wade Duck, Orson Pig, in what was basically a wacky animated sitcom featuring a large cast of funny farm animals. Meanwhile, Garfield shared the spotlight with Cadillac Cats, a junkyard gang who got into mischief. Ultimately, though, we have to judge it on the marquee name of the show. Garfield may have been a little harsh to Odie and Nermal from time to time, but Heathcliff was just a jerk to everybody. A lovable rascal will always win out against a callous kitty in my book. Congratulations, Garfield. Monday is canceled. Here's a hot pan of lasagna. So you a damn lie. Garfield started my love for lasagna. Hey, it's interesting enough. Yes, it did. Just like the Ninja Turtles sparked my interest in pizza, and it never left. It's funny how cartoons have an impact on you. Like, you know, Garfield loves lasagna. BC says Heathcliff was a gangster pimp. He was. He was trash to everybody. That just be real, personality wise. Garfield was a fat ass, a whole bully that dated a retarded kitten. Retarded kitten. Hey man, but listen, Garfield was always Garfield, man. I'm gonna have to put Garfield just a slight step above Heathcliff, even though I love both of these cartoons. And lasagna, my love for lasagna is exactly how it came to be. It's from Garfield. And I can pretty much empathize with what Maxwell 3278 was saying. Lasagna, man. I wanted lasagna after I watched Garfield. And I wanted pizza while I was watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Let me go to Pizza Hut and give me a personal pan pizza real quick. Like, let me get that pimp juice. So the best team leader goes to Optimus Prime from the Transformers. Elementary schoolyards in the 80s were full of endless squabbles over who got the Leonardo, Lionel, or He-Man, because being in charge is always more fun. Finding yourself front and center can be stressful, but there was always one leader who kept his cool in battle, and that is Optimus Prime. Though there were dozens of different characters popping up each season to sell more Transformers toys for Hasbro, Optimus was always the icon, even in season 3 when Hot Rod and Ultra Magnus tried to take up the mantle. As voiced by Peter Cullen, Optimus had a nobility to him which instantly garnered the devotion from Autobots to first graders alike. His unwavering commitment to fighting the good fight for the right, mixed with gentle way he taught life lessons to those around him, made Prime the ultimate robot father figure. How many cartoon characters do you know that caused kids to break down in tears when they were killed on screen? When they killed Optimus Prime, man, listen. You can't kill off Optimus Prime. I highly encourage any of you guys to watch the Transformers movie, the original cartoon movie, man. Great, great stuff, great stuff, good stuff. Now, the best movie to TV adaptation goes to Muppet Babies. I remember that. The translation of movie properties to cartoons are probably more noted in their infamy than quality when you consider violent R-rated flicks like Rambo and RoboCop getting their own animated series. Even Beetlejuice, which was a big hit sprung from a film where the titular character grabbed his crotch while using the F word. But there is one show that was a staple on Saturday mornings for years, which many people don't realize spun off from a segment in the Take Manhattan, The Muppet Babies. Yes, what made Muppet Babies so special wasn't just seeing Kermit, Fozzie, Gonzo, Miss Piggy, and the rest in their nursery with Nanny. It was the imaginary worlds they created that were brought to life using film footage, mostly public domain, but sometimes from Star Wars, Indiana Jones, or Ghostbusters. Each episode also contained a musical segment with original songs, so it's no wonder the series continued to entertain kids from 1984 to 1991 with all its pop culture infused wackiness. Crazy. So Mio 38 says, I'll vote we should watch the original Transformers movie the next movie night. Hey, hopefully if we get the wheel, they made our dreams come true. I like what you did there, BCs. I like what you did there. Now, the next one up is the best comic book cartoon, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't think anybody would disagree with this. I really don't think anybody would disagree with this here. But we're going to see, though. So, as featured recently in the Toys That Made Us documentary series on Netflix, if you haven't seen it, you got to see it. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon series was created to promote the toys being produced by Playmates, which were inspired by the original black and white comic book by Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird. So while most kids had never read the hard-edged source material, they were in fact buying toys based on a comic book property, not a cartoon. That being said, most children of the 80s met Leonardo, Donatello, Raphael, and Michelangelo through the animated series that ran for 10 years on TV. I was one of those kids. Didn't know there was an actual comic book until much later. The cartoon made the TMT more accessible to kids by giving each turtle their own signature color, bandana, and personalities, which led to tons of merchandising. The series managed to combine humor and action in an ongoing battle against Shredder and Krang. Though over time, the fighting was toned down to the point where Mikey's nunchucks were replaced with a less controversial grappling hook. Yeah. The turtles have remained a fixture of children's programming for over 30 years, which tells you just how strong the concept is at its core. So there you have it. The 10 best cartoons of the 80s. I hope this brought back some memories, but I'm sure there are a lot of childhood favorites you don't see on the list. So sound off. What did you not see? Now we got Muppet Babies. We got the real Ghostbusters. We got Transformers. We got Heathcliff. We got Garfield. Donald Saucers, which, yeah, nah. Of course, you got the He-Mans, and you got the Thundercats. You got those. You got Mask and all that good stuff. But hey, Gummy Bears over Care Bears. I don't give a crap. I don't care what you say. Gummy Bears over Care Bears. That's what I'm about. That is what I'm about. But shout out to the RetroNetwork.com for making this list for the best 80s cartoons of all time. Alf, man, I gotta go back and watch some of this classic stuff. I do have the first season of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so I do have that. You can actually get those season on Amazon Prime. You can definitely check that out, look that up. And as far as your anime recommendations, I highly recommend Jujutsu Kaisen. That is a great anime. Also, Hajime no Ippo Seasons is on Crunchyroll. You definitely need to check that stuff out as well. I cannot wait for Bleach to come out, the new season of Bleach. It will be unedited, it will be uncut, and I cannot wait. Please don't let us wait any longer. Please drop out the first season sometime. Well, the first episode of the season sometime this year. But hey, check me out at 7 p.m. We will be streaming on Twitch. All you got to do is go to twitch.tv/OrangePhoenixTV, or just download the Twitch app on your phone. We've been playing some Hearthstone, but we're definitely going to change it up tonight. We're definitely changing it up tonight. And I'm definitely going to do some test runs here. See if we can actually, you know, hunt some ghosts. See if we can go hunt some ghosts here. We're going to play a little bit of Ghostbusters here to close out the week here. But hey, thank you guys for actually hanging out with me for this nice Thursday. Thank you for sticking with us yesterday, because we were dealing with technical difficulties yesterday. But that's okay, though, because we're going to be out of town, like, starting on Friday. So from Friday to Sunday, we will be back on Tuesday. How about that? We'll be back on Taco Tuesday. You hear me? Taco Tuesday next week. But check us out on tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Twitch. Do not forget to join our Facebook community page, Orange Phoenix Geek Corner, people. Do not forget to do that. Join the group page. I will be announcing the next date for our movie night, which is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And again, we will be spinning the wheel for the following month of May. So we need participation, people. We need participation so we can continue with the movie night. And I will send out reminders. I will send out reminders in the group as well. Please give us a follow at Instagram, Orange Phoenix Media. Do not forget to subscribe to our magazine, Orange Phoenix Magazine. Yes, we have a magazine that drops every single month. You need to check out April's edition, as well as all the previous editions as well. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/Orange Phoenix. That's right. patreon.com/Orange Phoenix. Maxwell 1378, I have a deal. I have an idea for you. We will talk. Hey, I am all about ideas. Fresh ideas. I am all about that. All right? And yes, we do have some sales coming up, people. We got some sales coming up from T Public, and I will be posting that in the Geek Corner. That is another reason why you should join the Geek Corner, because we do have, not only do we have funny memes, have discussions, have movie nights, but we do have sales on merch, on merchandise, where you can support independent artists. Because, you know, we got to support ourselves. We got to support the Geek Corner community. We have to do that. So, yes, we will definitely jump on that bandwagon, all right? So, I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day, because I know I am. I'm gonna finish up on some Jujutsu Kaisen and some other things as well. But I will be announcing once again the movie night date, and I also will be announcing the actual next couple movies for May. BC says, thanks for the morning entertainment. Have a great day, OP fam. Look, love you all. Until next time, y'all. Peace.